Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, this is going to be a fun one.
Hey, this is going to be a fun and timely segment. I have been looking forward to this for so long. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast from Ronald Blue & Company. He's a financial advisor in the professional athlete division. Very timely conversation. Welcome, Mr. Morgan Chalk. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Now, Morgan, can you share a little bit about Ronald Blue? Do you only focus on athletes?
No, we actually have four divisions working with different levels of folks, depending on income and wealth level. And we decided to segment the professional athlete division because of some of the unique challenges that face athletes and some of the expertise required to serve them well.
So you don't do it just by, like you do it by kind of these kind of buckets, not like it wasn't decided by coordination or ability to catch a ball or hit a ball.
That's right. Yes, the professional athlete division that I primarily am serving in, with the athletes, there are, they have a very different income structure and timeline, and being in the kind of celebrity spotlight, they face some unique challenges from that. So it's a bit of a different ballgame than serving a mom and pop that have saved diligently for retirement over time. So that's why, as a company, we thought it would be worthwhile to segment a bit and specialize and do some unique training particular to this different service set.
Now, within that, though, you in professional athlete, that covers a wide spectrum in terms of you have the NFL, NBA, golf, tennis, NASCAR.
That's correct. Yes, we serve over 100 active and retired athletes in nearly all of those sports, and I think it's an area that we'll continue to grow towards over time.
Now, is your relationship with them, because I would imagine a lot of them, especially if we're going to talk about NFL, these people are right out of college and then they just dump a pile of money on some of these people that, it's a huge amount of money that maybe their families have never seen in their entire lifetimes. And they don't, I would imagine there's some unique challenges to that, as opposed to a person that works a career and, they earn their way up the ladder over 20, 30 years.
Right. It's a huge learning curve. And if you think about, if you're a college athlete and then you're lucky enough to make it to the NFL, you have an incredible amount of life change right off the bat. You're basically starting a new job. You're moving to a new city where you're having to find a new home. And you're typically, for the first time in your life, you're dealing with all the financial decisions that come along with that. Most of these athletes, they've been dedicated to their sport all their life. So they haven't had the luxury of working a part-time job and even knowing how to deal with a paycheck and seeing taxes come out and what does that mean. And so there's not a lot of context, which for me is exciting because I love to be able to come alongside a young man and be able to spend time educating him on all the different aspects and all the different areas that they need to be thinking about and just getting educated on. So it's a lot of fun. And the rookie salary this last year was $450,000, which is, if you compare that to the average college grad, who's, I think the average entry level starting position with a college degree was about $50,000. So they're earning, nine times that.
I was comparing it to the average radio producer's annual salary. There's a little bit of a gap between those two as well.
I understand. And what's unique about the NFL is they will get a signing bonus when they get drafted, and that varies widely depending on where they get drafted, what round, etc. But as far as their salary, they actually earn that through the season. So they're only getting paid for the 17 weeks between kind of September and the end of the year. So they're getting a weekly paycheck if you're a rookie of about $26,500 per week. So that is more money than they've ever seen just in 1 week, and then that just keeps coming in. But that also is one of the challenges because, kind of like a school teacher who only gets paid 9 months a year, they only get paid about 4 months a year. So they need to plan well for the off season and be able to have money available to live while they're not earning money.
Now, how open are they to having kind of this educational conversation with you?
You know, it's been, I think the NFL Players Association has been doing a great job of trying to raise awareness and just making the players, making it known that the players are going to need help. They've launched a, what they call the NFLPA Registered Player Financial Advisor Program, which helps vet financial advisors who are interested in working with NFL players. And then also through the documentaries that are out there on the many pitfalls athletes have gotten into as far as financially, such as Broke, which was a very popular ESPN film.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I know about this is what I learned on Ballers. So
that works too. That's educational too, right? But there is, you know, I think in general, there's most guys coming into the league now, I think, have some understanding that, hey, I need to have my finances together because I don't want to be another statistic. I don't want to be one of these guys who's, you know, does a really bad deal and loses all his money, or who's paying for, you know, 50 people's cell phones and you don't even know who they are. So I think they're very open to it. That's been my experience. But they also are, being in their profession and being, you know, everyone knows how much they make. Everyone sees them playing on Sundays. So they are the target also of a lot of people pitching investment ideas to them. A lot of family members asking for help financially. So it's a tough act for them to try to sift through all that and figure out how to analyze deals that are coming across coming their way, and also to figure out how to set appropriate boundaries as far as helping out family and friends who a lot of times may feel like they may even be entitled to some of that money.
Now, is that, do you feel that's part of your role, is to give them kind of some of the tools and maybe play the bad guy a little bit about with some of those kind of hangers-on that are just saying, look, I knew you when you were 12. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be playing football because I, you know, bought you your first shoes and, you know, I let you stay at my house. And, you know, they have a level of trust that, you know, you're the new guy, even though you're the expert, this other guy might carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love getting involved in that conversation because that is, you know, that is one of the biggest risks, I think, to these guys. Because there are going to be people, regardless of where they came from and how they got there, there are going to be people that approach them in that way. And we absolutely see that as part of our role, not in to tell them do or do not do this, but to help them think through what's a wise way. If you want to buy your mother a house, what is a wise way to do that? And how does that decision fit within the context of where you are financially? One thing most people don't realize is that, you know, that $450,000 they're making year one, half of that is going towards their agent fees, their union dues. So the 450 headline, that's only translating to 225, which is still a phenomenal amount. But the other huge factor with these guys is they have very short careers. The average in the NFL is 3.5 years. And then if you think about it, most of these guys they're focused on their sport going through school. So a lot of them haven't gotten a degree yet. And the NFL Players Association, again, has some great benefits to help them go back to school and finish up degrees. But one way we counsel them is that they need to have a set-aside amount of money in cash fully available for what we call kind of a relaunch. So when the game ends, which it will end for everyone, which is another important conversation to have with these guys, if you're 21, you feel invincible, but you have to know and you have to face the reality that even if you have a phenomenal Tom Brady-esque career, at some point that game will end and you need to have a plan for doing something else. Not only from a financial standpoint, if you're Tom Brady, you're probably okay. But for most of these guys, when they finish playing, they'll have a little bit of money. They'll have something to start with, but they need to get into something else, not only financially, but also just for life. I think we were created to work. And if you go from, if you're a, you know, 26, 27 year old, and you've, even if you've made it financially, if you don't have a purpose, you probably aren't going to end up too well. You aren't going to be happy.
Now, so do you help them in that area with like charity or kind of legacy?
Yeah, we do. Charity is a huge component of what we do. The mission of our firm was really around helping folks increase generosity. And one of the things we talk about with clients is that uncertainty reduces generosity. What I mean by that is that if you don't know the context for where you are financially and where you're headed financially, it's a lot harder to give money away. Whereas if you have a plan, most folks want to give money away and they want to be charitably minded. But if you don't have a plan for that, you have no context for, hey, if I give some of this money away, where does that leave me? So it's helping them see the long term of where they're headed, kind of the path that they're on, and then the short term, kind of what do we need to do to continue on a healthy path? And charity and philanthropy is a huge piece of the equation. I think it's crucially important for everyone financially to think through that, and the amounts and the way it goes might be different. But Proverbs says that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So the principle there is that generosity leads to being refreshed. Not only are you helping someone else, it also helps you. And you may have seen some of the studies that show that people that give away money are generally more happy than people that do not.
Now, when you're working with them, are there regular check-ins where you, in an athlete's kind of the life cycle of their business, you know, they're on a contract for a period of time, but in the NFL, it's very, what have you done for me lately kind of contract. It may not be, you know, the signing bonus may be forever, but the contract may not be what it is. So do you have regular check-ins where you're like, okay, you have 1 year left, you know, if it all goes well, you're going to have another contract and that one could be much larger than this, you know, first rookie deal. Or it could be like, look, this is a tough time here. You know, you've been injured a lot and this could be the end.
Absolutely. And we do a lot of scenario planning to that effect. And in the NFL, it's, you know, even within a season, if you get injured 1 week and you go on the injured reserve, that can diminish your income. So you always need to be planning for all those contingencies. So that is something that we regularly are looking at as far as where are they in their contract? What would happen if there's no future income? What would they need to transition into from an income standpoint to be able to make things work over time? And also looking at the bright side. So if you do get $3 million a year contract, what does that look like? What would you like to do financially? How quickly would you like to get out of debt? Having those conversations and regularly bringing those scenarios in front of them, I think helps them stay more grounded. And we found that the longer term mindset you have when making financial decisions, the better decisions you'll make today. Meaning that if you're thinking through, this could be my last game ever, this could be my last paycheck for a while, maybe I don't need to do that right now, or maybe I need to set aside some additional cash or whatever it may be. Not to say that you shouldn't spend some and enjoy it along the way, but there is a prudence in having balance and in seeing the potential downsides.
Now, when you're working with a client, is your relationship primarily with the athlete himself, or is it you got the spouse, you got the mother? Is it kind of the family affair?
It depends. For a lot of these younger guys, when they're just coming out of school, if they're not married, typically the parents stay involved to some extent for some period of time. Over time, we encourage them to kind of spread their wings and start to take more control of it. But that parental piece can help just in the oversight and helping them get comfortable. But that also has to be balanced with some of the other issues we talked about with, you know, family, potential income needs there. Spouses, absolutely. I think we always like to meet with both spouses whenever possible, because that's one of our kind of goals and missions as a firm is to increase couples' communication around the issue of money. You know, money's the number one issue when it comes to divorce, and we want to push against that and fight for their marriage. And money has a sneaky way of getting into all those areas. So we like to hear from both spouses. We don't view it as he's making all the money. It's his money. We view it as they are a couple. They made this decision to do this together. So they're both going to be involved along the way. And, you know, that leads to tension. Everyone has a different idea of how money should go, but that's where we can help kind of bridge the gap and help them have those conversations, because a lot of folks just aren't sitting down and looking at things together and dreaming about the future and talking about what goals are important to them and what passions do they have that they want to support from a charitable standpoint. So it's a lot of fun to be able to sift through both spouses, different personalities, different upbringings, different approaches, and help them find the commonality and how best to move forward.
Now, if you were going to give advice to somebody, maybe they're preparing for the draft right now, or maybe even they've just come into a large sum of money, is there any tips of do's and don'ts you would recommend?
Yes. My main tip would be go slowly when it comes to financial decisions. With houses, for example, you know, in a league, in a business like the NFL, things can change in a minute and you can get traded. So buying a house typically is not a sound financial decision for these guys till they really want to settle down or till they're out of the game. Renting, we kind of talk about as just a cost of business. It may cost a little more in the short term, but what you don't want is to buy a $1 million home and then you get traded and you have to deal with the hassle of selling a home, paying commissions, who knows what the market is like. Another one is just as investment deals come up, you don't need to swing for the fences right off the bat. You need to get educated, understand what you're trying to do with your money, have goals, and sift through those very carefully, because those will start coming up almost immediately, even before draft day. They typically are getting approached for some of those things. So I think, you know, being slow to get into debt, building up liquidity, just saving up cash, setting financial goals, just thinking through what do I want to do with my money is a huge deal. Life is busy. And these guys, they typically may not even know where to start on that, which is why I think it's hugely helpful for them to have an advisor walking alongside them and talking through these things.
So, Morgan, was there anything in particular that caused you to gravitate toward this particular practice area in your firm? Or did you just kind of get lucky and now you've sort of found your groove, or what?
A little bit of both. I've always loved sports. And if I could walk back 10 years and you told me I'd be working with athletes and we also work with coaches, I would be thrilled with that. Some of it has just been luck of getting connected to the right people at the right time. And some of it has been taking some initiative and getting some training and trying to make some inroads. But to me, it's really exciting to get to come alongside a guy that's 21 or 25 and educate him on his finances and walk alongside him in life. And, you know, I really value long-term client relationships. So if I get to work alongside someone for a long time, that is a huge blessing to me, and to be able to really get to know them and their family. And the interesting thing about this business is money gets into so many areas of life. So you wind up talking about kids and marriages and...
it touches everything, doesn't it?
What's that?
I said money touches everything, every aspect.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. So a lot of couples will refer to us as their financial therapist from time to time, because it is there are those aspects of it, which is I really enjoy.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you? Because I would think that it might be a bit of a challenge. It may be very rare even for you to unseat another financial advisor. Is it all referral? Does your phone ring, or is there some way that you can go out and actually cultivate new business? It must be different in your arena than it may be in a lot.
It is. It is. A lot of it is trying to build the right relationships with agents and with other folks that are kind of involved in the industry. A lot of it is referrals. These guys are on the road together. They're living with each other more or less for several months of the year. So if you are serving someone really well, typically at some point, someone's going to be talking about money in the locker room and they may mention your name and connect you. And so there's a lot of the word of mouth. So obviously it's a little harder getting in on the front end, but then if you get a few guys who are big fans of you and who you're serving well and doing a good job for, I think they recognize that and they're happy to connect you to teammates.
Now, do you have any stories you can share that maybe you helped advise somebody and got them on the right track, and now they're making more money after their career than during their career?
Well, it's hard to compete with those big NFL salaries. you know, for a lot of guys, the way we operate, we are more missionally based. So some of the guys, when they've already kind of made it financially, they'll wind up doing nonprofit work.
Mm-hmm.
One of the exciting things I got to do recently was a retired NBA player. I got him connected to a local nonprofit that helps place chaplains in college basketball programs. And that was just a huge win for him because it was an area he was passionate about, and it was a very tangible way that he could give back to the game that had provided for him over the years. So he's gotten involved both financially and also with vetting and doing some speaking engagements and things like that. So to me, that's such a huge win because that's connected to our mission of increasing generosity. And it also was a perfect fit for this guy, in just where he was and where he had been and stage of life. He's able to invest some time there and also invest some money to help them keep things going.
Now, you do work across a range of sports. So are there any kind of idiosyncrasies of different athletes in different sports? Like, do baseball players manage their money differently than football players or NBA players or NASCAR players?
I think they're, in general, I would say baseball players tend to be more low key. A lot of guys just want to drive their truck and hunt and fish from what I found. The NFL, I think in general might be a little more image conscious. So you get more guys who want to get the car or the house or go on the right trip or whatever it may be. So it's a lot of similarities as far as, you know, young guys with a high level of income for a limited amount of time and the general principles and practices that need to go into place to help them manage that well. But then there are some differences, but it's not, you know, it's definitely not across the board. You find different types in all different sports. So it's always interesting. Everyone's got a different personality. Everybody's got a different set of goals that they're trying to accomplish. And that's what keeps things exciting. The principles that we use never change. They always work. But how you apply them to different folks is a little bit different.
Now, when you're working with agents, can you share a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, so we have a relationship with several agents that occasionally we will help them find business. But really what we can do for them, the big value we add to them is being able to help them as they are negotiating contracts. We can show the player, okay, if you get this contract, if you really want to go play for this team or this city, here's what that would look like based on the contract you could get, and here's what that looks like for you financially. So we can kind of be a support for the agent to help them model different financial scenarios for the player. If they're negotiating hard for, they really want some amount of their salary guaranteed, we can show them, if you get this guarantee, this is where that puts you financially. If you don't get this guarantee, this is what it could look like if things go well. This is what it could look like if things go poorly. So agents have, you know, they want their players to do well financially and not be in a situation where they are, they've put themselves in a lot of debt, or they are having off-field distractions and issues because of finances. So agents love if their players are making sound financial decisions. That is only a help to them. So they're typically very happy to get them over to us and let us help them out.
So now, if an agent wanted to reach out to you or a player, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can find me on our website, which is www.ronblue.com, and I will be listed in our professional athlete division of the website. Or I can leave an email address if that's appropriate.
Yeah, go for it.
It's morgan.chalk, morgan.chalk @ronblue.com. And I'd be happy to, you know, well, I always try to be available for anyone if they have a small question or a big question, or if I can just help out, or if I can help serve them over time, I'm happy to do that, but always want to be available to whoever needs financial help.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you, Stone. Thank you, Lee. I really enjoyed it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.